So we're talking about sharing this good news that Jesus is alive, that he has overcome death, that he died for you and I, but he didn't just die so that one day you and I could go to heaven. He died so that you and I could be transformed here and now today and become part of what God is doing to renew all of creation, right? So we've been talking about sharing this great news about what Jesus has done, that we can be changed. We can be transformed. And the truth is, it's not easy to do that. And we hesitate to do it. We hold back. We get very nervous and sweaty and tense about sharing our faith because we often have pictures like that in our mind about having to become like some of those people in that video we just watched. And a lot of the bad examples in that video share one thing in common. They passionately love God, but their love for people is lacking, to say the least. Their faith is mostly one-dimensional. It's, you know, me and God, and people are kind of an afterthought. And today we're going to talk about the powerful purpose that Jesus has given us, and it's the multi-dimensional purpose of the cross. And that's what we want to wrap our minds around today. I used to love the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. How many of you remember Calvin and Hobbes, the comic strip? All right, a few of you. So here's a picture of these two. So these were probably some of the funniest comics you'll ever read. But he used to do this thing, little Calvin there on the floor, where there'd be a strip where he all of a sudden turns himself just one-dimensional. And so his parents can't find him because he just turns sideways. And now they can't see him anymore. And it's just the funniest thing that he would just turn sideways and now no one can see him by just becoming one-dimensional, becoming a line. And we live in a multidimensional world with length and width and height. But we have this problem that seems to be unshakable. We keep drawing lines between us and other people in order to make them disappear. We keep drawing lines to push people out and to segregate people away from one another. Because if I can draw lines, then I don't have to pay attention to the people outside those lines. I just gotta focus on the people inside my lines. And it's killing us. We draw these lines all kinds of ways. We draw it on race, obviously. We draw it on gender. We draw it on nationality. We draw it on age, on income, on socioeconomic status, on looks, on sports. We draw it on musical preference. We draw it on politics, for sure. You name it. We're constantly drawing lines to separate us into groups. If you don't believe me, just pick up a map. Open up Google Maps on your phone. Tell me where all those lines came from. Walk to the border of New Hampshire and Massachusetts. You're not going to see a line there. We made the lines because we are line drawers. A while back, some brilliant and creative people decided, hey, let's use the internet to erase lines. If we could just have this network around the world where people could talk to each other, I could talk to someone from Brazil, even though I'm up here in New England, you know, we could just erase all the lines and blur all the lines and the world would just become more in contact and then we'd have unity and we'd have peace. And then social media networks came along and the same idea that we could just create the opportunity for people to connect from all these different places and then we'd get to blur out all the lines. But then the reality is, if you've paid attention to the news in the last year or so, what we're discovering is that the internet and social media has actually just become another line-drawing tool. That the algorithms they use actually separate us into groups of people based on our preferences, and they isolate us from other people. We're not hearing other people's voices. We could if we would go searching outside of our lines, but most people don't do that. And so the internet's become this place where everyone just gets put in their own little tribes, where they only have to hear the people who think like they do and act like they do and live like they do. And so this great experiment to blur the lines just completely failed and began to be used for the opposite thing. So now we draw lines around our lives and we only hear the news we want to hear, watch the stations we want to listen to. We're gradually splintering into smaller and smaller tribes around more and more particular preferences. We're not becoming more unified, we're getting more splintered. Social issues, politics, it's all dividing us. And everyone thinks they're right because everyone just gorges themselves on the information that incestuously circles within their circle, their lines. I was talking to a 50-year-old white guy, friend of mine the other day in my neighborhood. And he was explaining to me how he's very intelligent, very well informed, and he knows that the race issue is just mostly a lot of fluff and it's not really a thing. Like, well, wait a minute. What? How is that possible for you to be well-informed and well-educated and know a lot and then believe that the race issue is not a really big thing, it's mostly fluff? The reason it's possible is because we get our information in our own circles, inside the lines we've drawn, and we think we're well-informed because we've listened to a lot of things, but we've only listened to things inside the lines that we've drawn or that have been drawn around us. We live in a world that is constantly drawing lines, but in this world that is drawing lines to separate Jesus, what did he draw? He drew a cross. He intersected the lines. So they're not boundaries running parallel but never connecting. Jesus drew a cross. And the purpose that he's given us, I don't know what life purpose you're living for, but if it's making a lot of money, that's not going to do it. That's not worth it. If it's having a lot of friends, it's not going to do it. Jesus has given us a purpose that goes beyond this life. And that purpose is in this world that's drawing lines to separate. That purpose is to draw crosses that connect people to God and to each other. So I want to look again today together at what Jesus said there, those last words to the disciples before he ascended in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. You can follow along in the app, take notes there in your bulletin or on the screen. This is what Jesus said to them. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He said, and here's Jesus' powerful purpose for our lives. He said, then they gathered around him and asked him, the disciples gathered around Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when I read that passage, here's what I see. I see the disciples asking a line-drawing question. What do they ask him? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to make Israel great again? They're assuming that Jesus' purpose is to reestablish this nation of Israel so they can stand out against and above and beyond all the other nations. It's a line-drawing thing. They think this is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be God and us. And everyone else is outside. And all their lives, these Jewish men had been taught that. They'd been taught they were the people of God, and then their whole identity was they were the special ones. They were the ones who heard God's voice. They were the ones who knew God, that God blessed them. But they forgot why. As a nation, Israel forgot why. God blessed them. He said right from the beginning, when he made the covenant with Abraham, God said, I'm blessing you, so what? You can be a blessing to the nations. Instead, what they did is they took that blessing and they made it, instead of horizontal, God blessed me linearly, and we take that and bless horizontal. They made it all about us and God. They made it all just linear. They made it a line. And so instead of God revealing himself through them, they began to, instead of them pointing people to God with signs, look at God, they began to build fences. They built lines, and they began to see everyone outside that line of us and God as subhuman. They even called non-Jews dogs. That's how these disciples grew up. So you can understand why they would ask this question. It's hard to erase deep ingrained lines, especially after they've been there for generations. But let's look at how Jesus responds to this line-drawing question and discover his multidimensional purpose for us. His answer comes in two parts. So here's part one. He answers, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. I said, well, what does he mean by that? Why does he say that? And here's what I'm going to call this. I'm going to say, the vertical is only half the story. The vertical is only half the story. I think that's part of the point Jesus is making. And I'm digging in a little bit. I'm pressing into what Jesus said and reading behind it and reading behind what the disciples did here. But follow me. Because when I think about that question they asked, and that it shows where their minds are. It's not just about, oh, when is it going to happen, Jesus? We want to know when. We want to know when. It also shows that how they're viewing their relationship with God. That it's not just about when. It's about them being ones in the know, about them being the special people. They're thinking only on that vertical plane. God, restore us now, renew us now, renew our relationship with you now. We become unique now. That's what they want. They want that restoration of the unique thing where they're the ones in the know. And faith is about knowing God and entering into a relationship with God, but it's not only about the vertical. And if our faith, if our relationship is only about the vertical, then something very dangerous can happen. We can run into all kinds of trouble. I was listening to a pastor named Sky Jathani tell a story that he heard from his uncle, who's a doctor. And his uncle had a patient who was going through some severe issues, and he needed to get his potassium up. So they started to feed him potassium pills while they had him in the hospital. But his body couldn't accept the potassium pills. He was getting violently sick, throwing up. They couldn't keep the potassium in him. So the doctors conferred, got together, and what can we do to get potassium? Do you know how you get potassium in somebody? Bananas. Exactly. So he said, look, here's the thing. You're going to eat bananas. And the patient was like, yes, I love bananas. They're the best. I love bananas. So he'll be so happy. And so the doctor wrote him a script to have bananas and left it there for the nurses. Went home for the day. He's in bed. He's asleep. And he gets an emergency call from the hospital. Say, Dr. So-and-so, we need you to come down. There's a problem with your patient. He's become angry and belligerent. And he's like threatening the nurses, threatening to leave and escape the hospital. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, this guy's the best patient. What could be happening in him? Is he some reaction? So he rushes to the hospital. He gets into the room. And he sees banana peels everywhere. And he's like, what's going on here? And the nurse says, well, doc, we've got 23 bananas in them. And then the guy interrupts and says, I can't have another banana. I'll just die. I just can't do it. Just let me be. And he's like, we've got 23 in them, and we're going to get the other 11 in before the night's over, no matter what. And the doc looks and says, no, not 34 bananas, 3 to 4 bananas a day. Bananas aren't a bad thing. Right? But too much. And if all we're about is the vertical dimension of faith, and we neglect the horizontal, then something breaks inside of us, and we fail. Too much of a good thing can be bad. When Jesus was asked one time, a lawyer asked him, he said, what is the greatest commandment? Like, number one commandment, what's the top of the charts of commandments? Jesus, what's that one commandment? And Jesus responded, you know what he responded with? 2. He didn't give him one. He gave him 2 because they go together, hand in hand. They're 2 sides of the same coin. He said, love God and love others. Love God, love your neighbor. You cannot separate them. They go hand in hand. So if we just focus on this dimension with our faith and we lose this, we're in trouble. We're sick. We're unhealthy. And there have been times throughout history when we have separated love of God from love of others. And it has allowed us to mistreat others using the love of God as an excuse. Slavery, wars, crusades, prejudice, all justified under the love of God at times in our history. We love God, so these others we don't love. How is that even possible? They go together. And it's absurd to think that loving God can be an excuse for hating another person. But it's always a danger when we focus only on the vertical dimension of faith and miss the horizontal. And this is the real danger for Christians today. We often, when we talk about faith, if I were to ask you, what is it Jesus did for you? Our answers are almost always about how he saved me. He set me free. He's there when I have a hard time. He's there to make my life easier. He's there to make me better. He gave himself up for me. Our answers become very one-dimensional about me and Jesus, about me and God. But if you think faith is only about your relationship with God, then you don't have a cross. You have a pole. You have a stick. You have a line. And you're missing the multidimensional aspect. The rest of the world disappears. You're just you and God. And then we miss out on exactly what it is Jesus told us we should be living for, his purpose for us. We've got to recognize that faith is not a line. It's a cross. And so I think the first thing Jesus is doing here is kind of adjusting their expectations. We talked about expectations last week. He's setting them up to appreciate that he's not drawing a line. His purpose is not for them to go out and draw lines or redraw lines or build walls or rebuild walls. His purpose for them and his purpose for us is to draw crosses. So this is what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So number two here this morning, our powerful purpose is to draw crosses. You kind of have to know a little geography to understand what Jesus just said to them there. They're in Jerusalem. That's the city, the capital city, right? That you go outside there, you're in the region, or it's in the region of Judea. This is home, right? This is home. This is where they live. They're in the capital city of their home, Judea, right? It's like we're near Boston, and Boston is in Massachusetts. Fine. But then he tells them, go to Samaria. Samaria is another line away, a big line away. Samaria is where the non-Jews are from. Samaria is where people who they don't get along with are from. They see Samaritans as dogs. That's what they were taught all their lives. They're on the other side of that line. And Jesus is saying, get across that line. And not just there. If that wasn't enough to shake you, if you're a Jewish guy who grew up thinking those are dogs, don't go near them. If you go near them, you lose God's blessing. Now he's saying, go past that line. But then you know what, guys? Just so we're clear, go past every line. Go until there are no more lines. Go to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus says to them. So try to hear this like the disciples would, right? There they are, the way they grew up, and they're expecting God and us the way it always was, and God says, no, go past all the lines, because there are no more lines with Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, there are no more lines. There are only opportunities to make crosses. You find the lines that divide you from other people, and you cross them. And you bring him Jesus. That's what the cross does. The cross takes people who are opposites, who are enemies even, whose tracks never crossed, and joins them together in something, under something infinitely more powerful than the things that divided us, than the lines that separated us. Unites us in Jesus. The epitome of love. The epitome of sacrifice. Of grace, of justice, of holiness. It unites us under Jesus. And look, we think of ourselves being joined to God as an individual thing. I'm joined to God, you're joined to God, she's joined to God, he's joined to God. We each have our own little joining things to God. We've got that, get that picture out of your head. Take on this picture, because the early church wrestled with this. And we in our individualistic society, where we've been taught to draw lines, and mostly we draw the lines around me and my individualism, but we have this picture that it's me and my connection to God, but the early church wrestled with this whole thing about, you know, Jews and Gentiles and where are the lines between us. And what Paul said is will radically challenge us in our individualist thinking and also any other line drawing. So go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's here on the screen for you. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 2 rather, verses 14 to 18. This is Paul writing to address the Jews and the Gentiles, and they had formerly been excluded from each other by the lines. Verse 14 of Ephesians 2, Paul then writes, but Jesus himself is our peace. He has made the two groups into one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. Jesus' purpose was what? To create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, all of us joined together in one body in Jesus, to now reconcile us to God through the cross, by which Jesus put to death all of our hostility. Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far away, he says, peace to those who were near, and through him, we all together have access to the Father by one Spirit. So Paul is saying what? There are no more lines, because Jesus crosses all the lines and connects us together and then brings us together to God. The cross is such a perfect image, because if you picture relationship with God as the vertical plane, right, and relationship with others as this horizontal plane, then there hangs Jesus in the middle, joining us together with each other and us together with God. That's the picture of what faith is. It's a cross. It's not lines we draw. It's a cross. Crosses the lines. And that's the powerful purpose Jesus has for us, to go out and cross these lines, not to hide in our Christian tribes or in our Christian chat rooms or in our Christian buildings, because we live in a world of lines. And the world wants us to stay in the lines it draws for us too. Keep your faith in your churches. Keep your faith at home. But the same thing God did between Jews and Gentiles, he wants to do today. Around the world, with everyone crossing every line, there is no line the gospel cannot cross. And so Jesus' purpose for you, whatever you think walking in here your life purpose was, today I'm just telling you, drop it. Not that it's unimportant, but drop it. Let this become your life's purpose, and then everything else will fall into place. If you want to experience the life God has for you, then let's take on the purpose Jesus has for us. And that purpose is starting right where you live. Are there lines right where you live in your home between you and other people, lines you won't cross because they don't know the gospel, or maybe just lines that have been built up that are blocking you and keeping you from each other, and you need to go and you need to cross those lines and have reconciliation, because the purpose Jesus has given us is reconciliation with each other and reconciliation with God. That's our purpose in life, to be people who bring reconciliation. So you've got people at home in your life who you've got these walls up with, and maybe you're the drawer of those lines. Go home and grab your eraser and start erasing those lines and bring the gospel across. Let the gospel change your relationships at home. Cross the lines at home. And then look at your community. Look at the people who live, you know, in your neighborhood, or the people you work alongside or travel alongside within the subway or on the bus. Look at those people. Where are there lines that maybe are holding you back? Because there are certain people you won't talk to. Maybe you're afraid to talk to them, or you think they won't like you. Start crossing those lines and caring for them and sharing Jesus with them. Cross the lines. Don't build lines. Cross the lines. Don't respect lines that divide people. Cross the lines and share Jesus. And then look at beyond your work, beyond your community. Let's look at the whole world. People who don't think like us, talk like us, act like us. People out there throughout the nations, people whose politics we don't like, whose cultures we don't like, whose behaviors and that. Jesus calls you and me not to sit here and draw lines because of, I don't like that, or nope, there's a line I don't like that, nope, there's a line I don't like. He calls us to go and cross all those lines, not looking for places where we can fit in and be comfortable, looking for places to bring the gospel and share Jesus and what Jesus has done. Transform people's lives and make us new. Because in a world drawing lines, Jesus is working to draw crosses, and he calls us to do that. Draw crosses that bring God, people together with God and together with each other, wiping away all those lines. You remember the Iron Curtain? The Berlin Wall? When that went up, dividing East and West Germany, and also East Germany from a bunch of other nations, people literally started to become physically and mentally ill when that wall was built back in the 60s. It had an impact on the people near the walls. That they started to get angry, started to lose their minds, started to act out. It just had this overall negative impact on them, because that's what lines do. I can remember the joy and the celebration as they tore it down. And as a kid, I was looking at that saying, Boy, they seem really happy to be knocking down a wall. I didn't get it. But it was more than just that it was a wall. It was that it represented something that was tearing people apart. That's what lines do. But people weren't the only ones affected. When they built those lines, most of it was fencing around East Germany. And they ended up separating two populations of red deer. And so one population ended up in the Czech Republic, the other ended up in East Germany, on opposite sides of the fence. For almost 30 years, it was like that. And scientists in 2002 started studying the deer in that area. And what they realized is that something strange was happening. The deer on the German side, even after the fence was torn down, would not go past where that fence had been. They still kept to the line. And the deer in the Czech side wouldn't go past it either. The line was gone, the fence was gone, but they still wouldn't go past it. And then they started to GPS tag some of the deer. And there's one particular deer named Ahornia who became famous. They put a GPS tracker on her, and they followed her movements and tracked her thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and they saw she was always staying in the German side, even though the Czech side, they had turned into a nature preserve. It was like the perfect place for a deer to live, protected, separated from people, safe, but still, they'd see her. Ahornia would get up near the line, but she would never cross that line over into the Czech side. Even though the fence was gone, she wouldn't cross over. And then the really crazy thing that blew their minds was they realized that this deer, Ahornia, she was born in 2007, 18 years after the fences had been torn down and the lines erased. She had never seen the fence. The line had never been there physically in her lifetime. It was only there in her mind. She had learned from her parents, these are the paths we walk in, we don't walk those paths. These are our lines, we go with our lines, and we don't cross those lines. And even though they were gone and erased, they stayed in her mind. And there's a wildlife filmmaker named Tom Sinski who works in that area, and this is what he said. He said, the wall in the head is still there. I want you this morning to think about, what are the walls, what are the fences that are there in your head that keep you from this purpose Jesus has given you to draw crosses? Who drew those lines that are keeping you from sharing the good news about Jesus? Are they there from generations gone by? Inherited from generation after generation? Are they prejudice, racism, classism? Are they political, social, economic? What will it take for you to recognize that Jesus has overcome all the lines and is sending you and I out past the lines into places where we can help people encounter the love and the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God? And ask the worship team to come back this morning. Look, we don't have to go out there and do anything other than faithfully share the gospel. Sometimes we get it in our heads that we've got to make people believe, but we don't. Sometimes the reason we hold back from sharing the faith is because we know we're going to fail and we don't want to fail. But it's not about our success or failure. We're not the ones who can make it happen. We are only called to go out and cross the lines and share the gospel. And then Jesus will give the increase. Here's a story Jesus never told. Jesus never told a story where a farmer went out to sow seed and found that some seed fell on hard ground, so he went home and tried to genetically modify the seed so it could get into hard ground. And he never told the story where he sowed some seed and the seed fell among some rocks, so he went home and tried to genetically modify the seed so that it could grow up in soil and the soil could let the rocks, you know, still be there and grow. And he never told the story where he went out to sow seed and that seed fell in soil where there was thorns and weeds, and it, when they grew up, it choked out the seed, so he went home to genetically modify the seed so it could be like the thorns. The seed doesn't change. The seed is the gospel. This incredible news about what Jesus has done for us. It's the gospel. The soil is what has to change. I'm soil. You're soil. The people you're going to come in contact with are soil. The soil is what has to change. But guess what? You can't change the soil. I can't change other people's soil. Paul said it. My job is not to change the soil. My job is to plant the seed, to water the seed. God's the one who gives the increase. So you and I are set free from this whole, oh, I have to succeed thing. All we need to worry about is faithfulness. Will I be faithful to the purpose that Jesus saved me for? Get away from my line drawing. Get away from the typical lines of here's my Christian life, and then here's my work life, and here's my home life, and here's then my secret life I don't want anyone to know about. All the lines go. Cross them all. So this morning, I want you to think about whose life can you intersect with this week with the gospel? Maybe it's someone who is real close to you at home. And it's going to be easy. Maybe it's someone, there's a barrier there for whatever reason. And maybe you're not the one to put it there. Maybe they are. That's okay. The gospel crosses every line, and your goal is to share it, to take a posture like Jesus took. Arms open wide, head to the sky. God loves you. God wants to transform your life. I love you. And I want to have you as a brother or sister. That's the posture to take. So this morning, we're going to sing a couple songs of worship. And as we're singing these songs, I want you to pray and ask God to deal with your heart. We're going to sing this song about standing for Jesus in light of all he's done. Maybe that's just the first step. Will you just stand up?